Well, it's nice to be back here. I don't know who I am, a doctoral student or pastor, who knows. But I'm very pleased. I hope that you are all tired, sleepy. Today is Friday. I think you need to go and prepare for the Sabbath. And I hope there will be no questions. Maybe you will fall asleep during the process of this reading. Well, anyway, you heard already Dr. Mascala, Professor Mascala, he mentioned the topic. And that is quite important. We will speak only about three verses. In Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And when you read the available literature which speaks about these verses, we see that scholars have many different ideas, different views. That's because of different approaches and so on. And one of the current prevailing notions is that Job expects a post-mortem encounter with God, but in the embodied state. And according to this view, according to this understanding, Job will see God not with his physical eyes, but somehow in spirit, somehow outside his body, or somehow outside from his grave. There are different ideas and nuances come in. And of course, this view is partially supported by the translation of the Revised Standard Version footnote, where we can read, "Without my flesh I shall see God." Unfortunately, this view ignores the nature, of course, and function, and I would go even on, also the purpose of the employed terminology and its various textual elements that suggest the physical nature of Job's experience. Of course, there are many views I'm not going to mention. At least we can speak about four major views and sub-views and so on. But we will go on now. And because of many different ideas, different interpretations, of course, there's confusion in the minds of many people when they read appropriate literature. And that is why it's necessary to take a closer look at the vocabulary, terminology, and the nature, and I would say eschatological nature of these three verses. And it is more than essential to establish the language and the categories of vocabulary which are employed in these three verses. Four, Job's attitude to death and belief regarding the future resurrection is fundamental to an understanding of what Job is or is not saying. He is or he is not affirming. Whether Job envisaged an existential solution in this present course of life or an eschatological event of resurrection. And we will look now at a few things. The paper is very simple. It will consist practically of three major parts. One is language. And of course, we will mention a few verses about structure and then intertextuality. And the third part is interpretation. A little bit of everything. We know that many scholars begin their studies by exploring the language of the chosen passage. But wise emphasize that the first question should be, what is its structure? He says that should be the first structure question. Language and structure are not to be regarded as isolated entities, I'm quoting, but rather as mutually enriching aspects of the whole. The structure provides a control determining to a very large extent the limits within which the study will be done. And of course, this chapter 19, which is well known, consists of four major parts, verses 1 through 6, 7 through 12, 13 to 20, 21 through 29, which is called often conviction. But, of course, it does mean that this is yes and amen, because you can see there are many variations. It depends, you know, how the scholars form the structure, you know, so signals which they emphasize, and so on. But I'm not going also in details here, but concerning last part I want to say is there is chiastic structure. It is very well established, and without going into many details, we can say an analysis of the content of the last division, chapter 19, which is verses 21 through 29, shows that it follows a chiastic arrangement. And in that chiastic arrangement, verses 25 through 27, they form a peak, culmination, that is the highest point. And it's called, we can call it confirmation. And these are the verses which we are going to look at. And I will read simply to remind what is mentioned in these verses. Conviction, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin is destroyed. That from my flesh I shall see God, whom I will see for myself, and my eyes will behold and not another. My heart faints within me. These verses, 25 to 27, not only function as a peak of the entire chiastic outline, but also demonstrate that they are bound together phonologically by their own double chiastic structure based on sound. For example, again without going details, these are things we are simply passing by to give some background, some orientation, some kind of direction. For example, verse 25, Va'ani, and we find in verse 26, for example, O Mebasari, and so on. Here we have lots of these phonological connections. And I would like now to jump straight to the main thing. Let us look at terminology. Eschatological terminology. And that is very important to determine what is happening here in order to understand what Job is talking here about. The first two is Haza and Ra'ah in Hebrew. The force of Job's conviction in the future resurrection is revealed by the choice of the eschatological terminology, especially the verb Haza, which means see, behold, which functions to express the vision of God that every righteous person will have on the resurrection morning. Usually the words for to see are associated with the words for awakening. Some scholars which would include in this category even those texts that do not have the word to see, but which nevertheless imply it. And there is a whole line of psalms. Another term, Ra, generally the verb Ra, to see, denotes the act of seeing, perceiving, watching or looking with one's own eyes. Job expresses his convictions that he would live again by a short but assertive phrase, namely, my eyes will behold. Ve'enai ra'u, in Hebrew it would be, yeah. That is verse 27. Very short phrase, but powerful phrase. Or we'll see again. There is no such thing as seeing without awakening. There is no such thing. For in sleep the eyes, what happens with our eyes? They are closed in sleep. It is It is dark and one cannot see. However, in awakening the eyes open, it is light, and one can see again. That is why in Scripture seeing is often paralleled with awakening. Note, for example, the references in Psalms 17 and 15 and 11 and 7. 17 and 15. Verse starts. I shall behold your face in righteousness. He says, I, here this double emphasis. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. You see what's happening. And Psalm 11, 7 we read, the upright will behold his face. Yehezu, here's this term. The context in both Psalms is a threat of death at the hands of the wicked. In both contexts, the beholding, that is our key term here. Beholding is a reward in contrast to the fate of the wicked. On the wicked, God will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. And the men of this world have their reward in this life, 17:14. In this context, the reward of the righteous person is, what is the reward? It is seeing whom? God. That is the reward of seeing God when he awakes at the resurrection. Job is extremely emphatic about seeing God in his own resurrected body. This assurance of seeing is emphasized in several ways by various terms and means. Number one, first, two synonyms, Ra'an, Haza, they occur together. Why? There should be reason. These words do not stand next to each other simply so that they should occupy space. No, there is a reason. Second, Haza occurs two times in these three lines, two times. Third, additional emphasis on personal involvement is created by A, in particular emphasizing his personal by its nature physical involvement, namely, seeing with my eyes. And then B, clarifying his assertion by adding, and not another, literally stranger, because in Hebrew we have velozar, not stranger. C, the number of occurrences of personal pronouns, if to count all of them. Job demonstrates a powerful conviction that he himself, in person, not a stranger, not another person, will see God in his new resurrected body. The conviction of Job's statement could not be made any stronger. The presence of the two verbs to see and the emphasis and clarification using positive and negative clarifications like not the eyes of another, they emphasize positive moment. The personal element not only creates an eschatological context, but also links this unit strongly with other passages dealing with the eschatological event of resurrection. Next two words, extremely important, cum and hi, two words. The motive of resurrection is further emphasized, reinforced, or substantiated by the nature and function and purpose of the verb yakum, he will stand, especially as it functions in parallel to hi, and clearly alludes to Job 14 and 12, where Job employs yakum in parallels with yakitsu, they will awake. And these are extremely important eschatological terms in order to emphasize the eschatological event of resurrection. The presence of both terms, yakum and hi, the subject of which is a redeemer, intensifies and reinforces the concept of the resurrection even more. Therefore, it is logical to associate Job 19:26 with resurrection, especially since the order of the word pairs follows the pattern that can be observed in other resurrection passages. Cum following high. I know that my Redeemer lives high, and that in the end he will stand cum upon the earth. As Job's Redeemer is a subject of cum and high, the presence of these terms reinforces the concept of Job's own resurrection hope. Though cum is usually accepted here in its legal sense, however, because it is associated with hi, it has an eschatological value. Next two terms, which again are extremely vitally important terms, afar and hi. The noun afar, earth, dust, points back to the afar in Genesis 2 and 3:19, of course, as a place of life and death. In Genesis, you know, 2, we know that there, from afar, what happened. God creates man. And then, 3:19, the opposite. While a man was formed from the afar of the ground, Yahweh calls him Haya, to live. In the book of Job, dust occurs 26 times, alluding either to death and the grave or to mortal human beings. Moreover, the occurrences of the term are far, so close, in the proximity or next to the adjective high, alive, living, which characterizes the Redeemer as a living being, alludes again to one and the same thing, to the resurrection event. As Job uses afar in parallel with death and the grave, the underlying relation of afar to death is also emphasized by its close proximity to high. And this, of course, is very well seen, demonstrated in Job 19:25. I know that my Redeemer lives high, and that in the end he will stand upon what? On the afar, earth. Where these two occur in close proximity, as it was told already two times, they allude to resurrection, especially when afar is used to describe the dust of earth. Next two terms, Aharon and Ahar. Each word here plays extremely important role for creating this foundation, background, to see what Job is talking about. The adjective ve'acharon, and at the end, is derived from ahar, which means behind and afterwards, and the doctor, Professor Mascala, he touched a little bit this thing in the morning already, both in terms of space and time. Aharon can mean either what immediately follows, or to describe the general beyond, or future. And finally, even the limits of space, or the very end of time. How to decide, how to understand what's happening here now? According to Dahud, the word Aharon functions as a technical term for the eschaton, if it is qualified by an eschatological context. What is happening here? Do we have an eschatological context? This is exactly the case, as we saw already from these few terms, pairs, which we already briefly discussed. That is exactly the case in verses 25 through 27, which contains various elements of death, life, resurrection, thus demonstrating all the criteria for understanding it in an eschatological sense. Not only it has elements of death and resurrection, but also employs the word designating eternity, la'ad. That is, we find in verse 24, la'ad, eternity. It's obvious that the author used acharon as a technical term for the eschaton. Job's faith is in the eschaton. Even if he has to die and go down to the grave or Sheol and become again the dust of the earth, Job is sure, Job is confident in the eschatological resurrection, as is seen from the discussed vocabulary. He states that vindication was expected after Ahar, the destruction of his body. Therefore, he could not be referring to vindication in the latter part of his own life or other possibilities which we see, which we hear, are excluded in this context. In brief, a summary about the things which were told just now. These eschatological terms within the same associated field, especially in their clusters, create a strong case for interpretation, and that is very important in our case. Eschatological terms not only merge, but also create a specific theological eschatological environment. Seven terms from the field of eschatology were observed in Job 19:25-27. Ahar, after Aharon, the eschaton, Afar, the dust of earth, Hai, to live, Ra'ah, and Hazah, to see, Kum, arise, all complement each other in creating a solid eschatological scenario. To these we might add an eighth, Ga'al, to redeem, and working from the associate field, there may have been a ninth, in verse 26, namely, Ur, to awake. Of course, that is discussable question and so on. Well, intertextuality, few words about intertextuality. We will pay attention only to two texts because of the time frame and because of the limitations. One of the most famous, very well-known texts is Isaiah 26:19. The majority of scholars consider Isaiah 26:19 as referring to the resurrection of the dead. And this is an important fact because it is written earlier than Daniel 12:1-2. Especially Hazel, Gerhard Hazel emphasized this thought. And he goes into details discussing this text. And this text sounds like that. Your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will cast out the dead. In other words, this passage is said to be the clearest reference to the bodily resurrection. In fact, Isaiah 26:19 emphasizes the same message of resurrection as Ezekiel and the other prophets do, but only in a much more expressive, in much more clear, in much straightforward way. Your dead, Yehu, shall live, their corpses shall rise, dwellers in the dust, Hakitu, awake, as the earth will cast out the dead. The resurrection of the dead is a great final and sudden eschatological event, which will follow after one's death and towards which the whole universe is moving. That is the direction. The strongest argument for reading a resurrection in this passage comes from the employment, nature, function and purpose, again, of the very vocabulary, eschatological terminology in the associated field for death and resurrection. Three widely accepted terms for resurrection are, as we already mentioned, Hayat, to live, Kum, to rise, Kit, to awake. Two more images enhance the resurrection overtones of this passage, namely the mention of Or, light morning, and the depiction of the freshness of dew, Tau. The categories of eschatological terms represented here in Isaiah 26:19 include number one, first, Hay, to live, in a sense, not simply somehow to live, but in a sense to live again. Second, from the category of rising or standing, Kum, to arise. Third, from the category of awakening, light, seeing, or light. Number four, from the category of rain, blossoming, Tal, which means dew. And five, words for dead, Mut, Nevela, and Afar. Job 19 contains almost identical, I would say even identical, cluster of eschatological terminology from the same fields, as in Isaiah 26, high, that's the live, from the category of arising, Kum, to arise, from the category of awakening and seeing, Ra'ah and Hazah, and the ten for dead, Afar. Practically the same terminological clusters. Thus, comparison of recognized eschatological terms for resurrection in Isaiah 26, occurring also in Job 19, serves to confirm not only intertextual links, but also the death-resurrection context in Job 19, 25-27. The second text I chose. Okay, my time is shortened. Well, second text I wanted to mention is Daniel 12, verses 1-2. In two words, we find exactly the same clusters, the same terminology, as we find in Job 25-27. And we know that Daniel chapter 12, these first verses, they speak about the resurrection. These are beautiful verses. And there is lots of information. I have lots of pages and Thank you for shortening, Jirži. Yeah. But I would prefer to read because some are already falling asleep already. And it's good. Well, okay. Well, I will jump. I will omit now Daniel chapter 12. And we will go to interpretation. But practically, I would say about Daniel chapter 12 the same as about Isaiah 26. And of course, there are many, many other passages from the Psalms and so on. Interpretation. Let us look now. Verse 25 starts with the phrase, "For I know." Ve'ani yadati. Very important phrase. For I know. Where vav, for, but meaning, introduces contrast with verses 23-24. And the personal pronoun ani takes on an emphatic form, I myself. The verb yadati, I know, occurs in the book of Job 12 times. Most occurrences are found in legal context, where it basically means I have a strong conviction, or I believe, I strongly believe. There are no doubts. This is very important. That's like Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He says, I know. For example, in Romans, he repeats 13 times, he says, I know. I don't need that anyone would say, tell me about God's existence. I have tasted. I know. I am sure. It is highly significant to point out Job's unique relationship with God by focusing on the verb yadati in the independent textual parallels. I am not going to read these intertextual parallels. That is Job 10:13 and 10:12. We would read again about the same material. By affirming that my Redeemer lives, Job focuses on Yahweh, who functions as his personal defender, Redeemer, advocate, and judge. And again, the pronominal suffix my refers to Job, and at the same time, the phrase my Redeemer lives is structurally contrasted with Al-Afar, literally on the dust. The primary emphasis lies on the expression of his conviction, assurance that his Redeemer lives and once he will encounter God face to face. By employing the expression, and after my skin is destroyed, verse 26, Job refers to his death and decay in the grave, which is contrasted by the resurrection imagery, that in my flesh I will see God, from my flesh, in my. Scholars are divided on how to understand verse 26, especially divided. Concerning the phrase, and in my flesh, u mi besari, which is interpreted by many as, from the grave, Job, a bodily spirit, will witness the occasion when God appears before the local assembly to verify Job's innocence. Such conclusions contradict the immediate context of the nature and function of the employed terminology. For example, the preposition mean can mean both from or from the standpoint of. And many examples of the latter can be found in the Hebrew literature, scripture. Literally, the expression mi besari means from my flesh and not without my flesh. It does mean outside my flesh. There is no such thought or illusion. Based on verse 27, which confirms that Job expects to see with his very own eyes, the preposition min must be taken to mean the position from which he looks. This expression, from, through, okay, if we play here, you know, we can go to the left, to the right, or in my flesh, shows that it is Job in person, as we will see in a few seconds, who will be present as an eschatological scenario, in person. It should also be noted that by their nature and function, my eyes, verse 27, not only forms an inseparable part of a physical body, but also serves as a parallel, and in my flesh, verse 26. Moreover, both phrases, and my eyes, and in my flesh, have the first person suffix, my. Plus, From both sides, they are enclosed by the emphatic pronoun ani, I, which forms double strong emphasis, which taken all together imparts a tremendous structural and thematic force to Job's dynamic hope of a new life in the resurrected body. Finally, the strong physical elements are confirmed by the numerous repetitions of the first person pronouns, independent, and the prefixes and suffixes, which are tied together in the double chiasm. The Li, in verse 27, is an ethical data which heightens the immediacy of Job's experience. The significance of such phrases as my skin, my flesh, I myself, my eyes is obvious, as his body parts refer to the physical nature of his total resurrection. I'm finishing now, 1 minute. Moreover, the descriptive elements of a human body, like skin, flesh, bones, sinews, Job, chapter 10, 11, chapter 19, 20, finds their counterpart in the resurrection context in Ezekiel 37, 3 through 10, where Ezekiel is an eyewitness of a new creation. Consequently, the enhanced emphasis on various body parts authenticates the restoration of the physical nature during the event of the resurrection, which on the one hand means that Job envisioned death and the grave, but on the other hand, this concrete description illustrates the fact that after the resurrection, the identity of Job remains the same as before his death. So, I need to shorten. Okay, I will shorten that. One page, if I do not say something, talk with him, please. Okay, I am finishing my last paragraph. You see, I am omitting one page, you are my witnesses. Okay, neither the eschatology nor theology, which are delineated in this passage report, support the idea of Job's post-mortem encounter with God in a disembodied state, since our text implies the presence of the body, nor does it support the idea of an existential experience, since our text implies death through the reference to dust, which is extremely important here. What we find here is a clear expression of the doctrine of resurrection. We have here clear eschatological context. Job 19:25-27 is about faith and hope in the eschatological event of resurrection. It is about vindication and the restoration of the order of the universe. Above all, it is Job's visualization of his Redeemer that strengthens his conviction and sustains him in his eschatological hope. Thank you.